Coming up on today's show...
I almost started viewing the Catholic faith as like a team sport, like football, where your friend might fall short one day. Who's there to pick him up? You know, the guy next to him. And, you know, who's there to pick up that guy, the guy next to him, and so on and so forth.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or catholicsportsradio.com. They will both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday. Social media for this show is Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group, whose members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. The quick way to find it is the big white button that is immediately below my picture near the top of the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. I very much enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through Bruce at CatholicSportsRadio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. As spring training opens for Major League Baseball, teams will be on the field and, before you know it, playing games to start getting ready for another season. Well, maybe I should say they'll start playing games weather permitting. If it rains in Arizona or Florida, some players might be heard complaining. Last year, when the Tampa Bay Rays had to spend the year playing in a temporary location while repairs were underway on the Tropicana Field roof, many complained about the Florida sun being too hot. It's all about perspective. A lot of us would love the opportunity to play one Major League Baseball game, rain or shine. The late Archbishop Fulton Sheen wrote the following, which helps us take a Christian view in this regard. He said, quote, "The sun which warms the plant can under other conditions also wither it. The rain which nourishes the flower can under other conditions rot it. The same sun shines upon mud that shines upon wax. It hardens the mud but softens the wax. The difference is not in the sun, but in that upon which it shines. The divine life which shines upon a soul that loves him softens it into everlasting life. That same divine life which shines upon the slothful soul, neglectful of God, hardens it into everlasting death." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest was a free safety on the football team at the College of the Holy Cross, where he was selected to the Patriot League Academic Honor Roll. That followed a high school career during which he served as captain of the football team during his senior season, when he helped his team to an 8-3 record after having gone 10-2 with a trip to the regional finals as a junior. During his time at St. John Newman Catholic High School in Naples, Florida, he was also a member of the track and field team, earning all area honors and setting a school record in the 200-meter dash. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, John Paul Rager.
Thank you, Bruce. Thank you for having me on. It's an honor.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you. And JP, I mentioned Naples, Florida in that intro, but where were you actually born and raised, and what was the family size?
Yeah, so I was born in Boston, Massachusetts, actually. Family size at that time was six. And, you know, moved down to Florida, don't remember much in Massachusetts, but you know, I think of myself as a Florida resident. And you know, by the time we were, you know, settled in there, family size was at 11 children.
Wow. Wow. What's the boy-girl breakdown, and where are you among them?
So we got 6 boys and 5 girls. I'm the fourth.
Fourth oldest.
Fourth oldest, correct.
Okay, okay. Well, tell us about the presence of the Catholic faith in the Rager household when you were a young boy, including serving at Mass.
Absolutely, yeah. So, I mean, always a part of our lives. Catholic faith was always a part of our lives. You know, we grew up going to Mass every day. I vividly remember, you know, 7 years old, moving to Florida, moving into Ave Maria, obviously a very Catholic town. And that was one of the major draws for my family. So it's always been a part of our lives. Grew up going to Mass every day and, you know, being in the community. Altar serving was almost expected in a town like Ave Maria, especially, you know, in the beginning when it was small, because, you know, when I first moved there, there was really about 3 families. So very, very close knit. And, you know, I had the honor of serving, you know, just the regular Mass and then the extraordinary form as well. So, you know, through that, I was able to, you know, deepen my understanding of the Catholic faith, and it was just awesome. Great environment to grow up in.
I'm picking up on 2 things that you said. One is daily Mass, because I thought you were going to say Mass every Sunday. But secondly, and it goes hand in hand with daily Mass, is to have 6 or 11 children in the family. What was that like in terms of trying to get everybody to go to daily Mass?
Oh, it's some days it was easy, some days, you know, not so easy. But I will say, you know, we were probably late more often than early. but, you know, still tried to make it. And we'd go around noon. Now, you know, age gaps, there's, you know, tons of different ages in the family. So yeah. Some of the kids were maybe out of the house at college, right across the street at Ave Maria University. And, you know, really it was the kids that were homeschooling. You know, we would just walk down the street and, you know, head over to the church. But, yeah.
Audience, who was it recently that said that there were 15 kids in their family? I remember saying at the time during that interview that that had to be a Catholic Sports Radio record. Certainly, the Rager family was right up there in the Catholic Sports Radio standings in terms of number of kids in the family with 11. But if someone remembers, email me, DM me through social media, post it somewhere. I know there was a guest not that long ago that said 15 kids in their family. JP, were football and track your quote-unquote only 2 sports when you were growing up? And for that matter, how did you get started into participating in sports? On your own or through influence of, say, a parent or a sibling or perhaps even a grandparent?
Yeah, absolutely. So the sports that my parents kind of put me into were, you know, things like soccer and basketball and never really football. They didn't really push that too much. Now, I dropped basketball pretty early on, you know, to focus on football. I was very, you know, very fixated on football and track. I like to run fast, so it translated well into football. But yeah, I mean, I didn't really, you know, care too much for basketball. Was never really good at it. I actually was, I got ejected my last season and suspended for the rest of the season because I was a little bit too, I basically tried to play football in the basketball court. So that was fun. That was the last time I ever played. But yeah, kind of around 4th grade, I started pushing for football and, you know, pushing my parents to allow me to play. Now they, you know, I played 8-man in Ave Maria, not a lot of people out there. So, you know, we were stuck with 6 and 8-man, but they never really wanted me to play football. They thought it was dangerous, but, you know, I always saw it as right up my alley. I would play pickup in the backyard and, you know, dislocate a jaw or something and come back loving it. So I think my parents realized they kind of just had to let go and let me do what I wanted to do. Yeah, long story short, they were, you know, never really full go on football. I pretty much had to push them. And then, especially when I got into high school, that was when I pretty much kept after them for about a year to send me to a larger school outside of Ave Maria so that I could play 11-man football. So that's when I ended up going out into Naples, St. John Newman Catholic High School, and I played football there for 4 years.
Yeah, during your time at St. John Newman Catholic High School, you say that, quote, "I maintained my relationship with the Catholic faith, but I can't say I pursued growth. My mind was fixated on sports," end quote. I wonder, is that something you realized looking back, or was it a recognizable struggle, be it internally or maybe with your parents, while you were going through it?
I never thought about it in high school. You know, I was, like I said, fixated on football and fixated on myself. And looking back, you know, now, especially during my time at Holy Cross, I realized that, you know, I did not pursue my faith. And, you know, that really stemmed from focusing only on myself and what I could do to make myself look better, you know, make myself more popular. Because believe it or not, I mean, yeah, I'm sure you know, like, it's a huge thing for kids in high school to go to a Division I college and, you know, play sports there. So, I mean, I was, you know, on that whole wave of, you know, trying to make myself look as awesome as I possibly could.
Well, to that point, I would love to hear your advice for how high school student athletes can avoid putting sports as their top priority, because saying it is one thing, but recognizing it and working to prevent it is another.
Absolutely. So, I mean, really where it all clicked for me was focusing on others and bringing others along with you. So you can work towards being as good as you possibly can be, but are you really doing good unless you are building other people up? And that was something I had the privilege of learning from my coach at Holy Cross. He was an amazing coach. Always talked about, we have the competitors and then we have, you know, like ultra competitors who bring people along with them and build other people up. So I would say, you know, if you're a high school student, you know, looking to grow your faith while also focusing on sports, I mean, look towards others and look towards building up the people around you, because at the end of the day, that is the most important thing you can do. And, you know, it'll bring other people towards God. And, you know, you'll bring yourself closer towards God through love for your fellow man.
Yeah. And something that we've heard on this show before from different guests is, you're going to have your faith for your entire life. You're not going to have sports for your entire life. If you're lucky, you may have it for part of your career, but obviously you can tell which one should get the priority and where all your time and attention should be focused on. JP, just one more note about your time down in Naples. You said that, quote, "St. John Newman was wonderful Catholic education, and without that school, I do not believe I would be the same person I am today. I met so many amazing people and had the opportunity to learn from a great teacher," end quote. To that, I say praise God, because it's easy to get caught up in the luster of running track, setting a school record, and your junior and senior year football teams combining for 18 wins against just 5 losses. Yet, you have realized the person that that school helped you become.
Absolutely. I mean, really just the whole structure. I was always in a Catholic school, either homeschooled or Catholic school. And I mean, the structures that they have in place and the opportunities that they have in place are really unmatched, in my opinion. I think that's the whole point, is, you know, the opportunity is there to grow in your faith if you grab a hold of it. And, you know, as far as the people there, my principal was a was a nun. I had nuns for, you know, teachers, and yeah, I mean, it you know, always took a religion class, and I mean, it's really just the opportunity and the, you know, having the Eucharist on campus, things like that. It's powerful. It always kind of, it keeps God in the back of your mind, you know, while also being able to pursue, you know, sports and education. I think that's just very important.
Friends, last month, of course, was the college football national championship game with Indiana defeating the University of Miami in the Hurricanes' home stadium, no less. And we have had our fair share of college football players on the show over the years, but everyone's story is different, so I want to make sure you get to hear about JP's time as a free safety at the College of the Holy Cross following his time at the Catholic high school you just heard him tell us about. And you can't help but notice the value he said that he got from attending a Catholic school. Alliance Catholic Credit Union is proud to support Catholic Sports Radio, and they invite you to help them support Catholic education. Through Alliance Catholic Foundation, they provide 20 scholarships every year to families striving to ensure their children can attend a Catholic school. If you become a friend of the foundation, you will help them continue this good work, and you will have an opportunity to open an account with Alliance Catholic Credit Union. Learn more at alliancecatholicfoundation.org. Federally insured by NCUA. And please be sure to tell them you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. Catholic Sports Radio is made possible largely by listener support. And that's where you come in, friends. The late Catholic priest and spiritual writer Henry Nouwen said that asking for support is not begging. It is inviting someone into the work God is doing. Catholic Sports Radio is my ministry. 7 years of weekly episodes, not as my job, but as my calling. But I cannot do it alone. When you give, you are saying yes to keeping Christ in the conversation around sports. You are becoming part of the mission. Please prayerfully consider making a one-time gift through the blue Donate to CSR button at CatholicSportsRadio.net or contact me through the website, social media, or by writing to Bruce at CatholicSportsRadio.net for details on how to send a check. Together, we can keep proclaiming the good news in every arena. JP, before that, I promised that I would ask you about playing football in college. Tell us first how you ended up there. Scholarship, recruited, the fact that it's a Jesuit and Catholic institution. Take us back to going from Naples, Florida to up in Massachusetts.
Absolutely. So, you know, recruiting process began really, you know, junior year. I was talking a lot with Holy Cross, you know, other Patriot League schools as well. My first official visit was actually to Bucknell. At that time, I still hadn't received the offer from Holy Cross, but I went over to Bucknell with my mother, and you know, we spent a weekend there. At the end of the weekend, they offered me a scholarship. I got this funny feeling, you know, that it just wasn't the right spot. Hmm. And at that point, I did not have the Holy Cross offer. So I left Lewisburg, Pennsylvania with nothing, no Division I offers. I was talking to some other smaller schools. Obviously, I wanted to go Division I and play in the FCS. It was, you know, always a dream of mine, always something I always told, you know, I told people I was going to do that from a young age. So, you know, it kind of, you know, put a damper on things. I wasn't very upbeat. And all of a sudden I was actually in my math class senior year, and I received a call, and I knew exactly who it was. I took my phone out of my pocket a little bit, looked at the number, and ran out of class, answered the phone. And just like that, Holy Cross had one more scholarship spot open. And they invited me on an official visit, and I was on a plane 3 days later.
Wow.
And yeah, it all happened within really less than a week.
Wow.
So got up there. They offered me a scholarship, the last spot they had. And it wasn't as much as Bucknell, but, you know, I went up there and, you know, experienced the whole thing. Obviously, I'm from Massachusetts, so I have roots here and family, which is another aspect of, you know, why I came up here.
Yeah.
But I was like, this is it. Like, this is where I'm I'm going to go.
Yeah.
And made the decision right then and there. And yeah, it
fantastic.
Was, you know, a few months later, I was packing my car and driving out of Ave Maria, Florida.
Fantastic. And once you got there, you say that at Holy Cross, you were truly able to harness the power of sports and faith at the same time and use it to grow your mind and soul. Why is that? What was happening? What took place that manifested all that?
Absolutely. So I will say freshman year, not very locked in that aspect. But sophomore year is kind of when it all went, you know, a way I wouldn't expect. I completely blew my knee out end of sophomore year and, you know, did not, I wasn't even on the roster junior year. So ended up getting back on the field senior year. So that whole time, you know, I really had the chance to reflect and, you know, ask myself, why am I here? Mm. And that's where I really came to the realization that, you know, I'm here for others and to bring others closer towards God in any possible way. And the way I saw it was participate with the team, stay involved and do whatever you possibly can to help the team. And through that, I really made the connection with the faith, and I realized that, you know, we're called to bring others towards the light. We're called to bring others towards God. And, you know, no matter how you get there, if it's through, you know, a simple thing, like you might not even be on the roster, but you're still on the sideline helping the team, helping the equipment staff, doing laundry, things like that. I picked up a job in the laundry room, and through all of that, I mean, it's funny. It's kind of, you know, it's my own story, but you know, others might not see it the same way, but through that injury and through the position that I was put in, I was able to kind of connect to all the there and, you know, realize that God lives in all of us. And, you know, sometimes we just need others to help us, you know, bring it to the surface.
Yeah, there's there's several things that I like in everything that you just talked about. One of them is you realized you were there for a purpose is right, because you already told us that when you were doing the visit at Bucknell, it just didn't feel like where you were meant to be. And so here's proof of that, that you're at Holy Cross and you're seeing, okay, this is clearly where I was meant to end up, because you get injured and it brings you closer to your faith. But also, and this is very similar to a story, audience, if you didn't hear last August on episode 342, my guest was Brandon Alleman, who has Live in You. It's a nonprofit that he runs helping teens. But he talked about when he played football and he had to get to the point where he realized, okay, I'm not going to play in the NFL, but I can still be of value to my teammates by doing the types of things that now you're hearing kind of reinforced that John Paul is telling us. So really good insight. I wonder, John Paul, in the lead up to today, you told me that your time at Holy Cross was not easy, but that the tough part taught you the most valuable lessons in regards to what it means to have strong faith. Is that what you're referring to with the injuries, or to the extent that you're comfortable sharing, is there more?
So absolutely. It was the injury. Really just put me in a spot where I had to consider why I was there, like I said. And I almost started viewing the Catholic faith as like a team sport, like football, where your friend might fall short one day. Who's there to pick him up? Mm. You know, the guy next to him. And, you know, who's there to pick up that guy, the guy next to him, and so on and so forth. So, yeah, I mean, really, it was the injury. I mean, not much else. I mean, other than that, I had it was a breeze. I mean, wonderful college. Now classes were obviously not a breeze. It's a little difficult there, but, you know, you do your best. And, yeah.
Present day, I think you might have glossed over this quickly, so I want to get this correct. Where do you live today in early 2026? Because in an email to me, you said that some of your buddies, your teammates from Holy Cross, have a Bible study group going. And I wondered if that meant that you're a part of it and it's in person, or if you're gone from that area and you join them virtually.
Yeah, so I'm right outside Boston right now, Massachusetts. I work in Waltham, so, you know, kind of in that area. I got some buddies that live in the area, but for the most part, you know, everyone in that Bible study, we just hop on a FaceTime call, you know, get together, go over, you know, the reading on, you know, the gospel reading for Sunday. So we do it every Sunday night. So yeah, it's virtual. Me and two of my other teammates kind of started it, and we've been just recruiting people week by week. So we've made it a point to bring in a new person every week until we've grown this to a point where, you know, we can, you know, maybe move on to a new platform or something like that. So, you know, we're a few weeks in and it's awesome. I mean, it's a blessing. I never thought that, and this is kind of where it all comes together and the whole team aspect. These were my brothers on the field, and now they get to be my brothers in Christ, and they always were my brothers in Christ. And, you know, now we just kind of have that opportunity to grow and, you know, maintain that kind of team relationship and accountability, really.
Yeah, bravo.
Toward each other.
Bravo. And this is an exciting time for you, because in 2026, you will enter the sacrament of holy matrimony. Let's close by having you share about how and when you met your fiance and when the two of you will be getting married.
Yeah, so I met her immediately once I got up to Massachusetts. Now, obviously that was COVID, so we weren't on campus at that time. So, you know, we met over social media. We, you know, would hang out a little bit, go to a few, you know, parties here and there, just with kids that were in the area but not on campus. So wasn't until the end of sophomore year, well, really the end of freshman year, beginning of sophomore year, when we actually started dating. So we've been dating since about, you know, 2021, and, you know, always knew I was going to marry her, at least from, I think, the first time we actually went on a date. It was kind of always in the back of my mind, and it's been a blessing ever since. I can't wait, and we will be getting married August 8th, 2026. So,
okay.
Very excited.
Well, audience, please keep John Paul and his fiance in your prayers as they walk towards holy matrimony in August. John Paul, really wonderful to have you on the show. Thank you ever so much for making time to share your testimony, and God bless you and your fiance.
Absolutely, Bruce. Thank you. God bless.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And audience, we haven't done this one in a while. Let's close with this prayer that is titled Don't Quit, and pray it together right now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you are trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a fellow turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night came down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And when you never can tell how close you are, it may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when you are hardest hit. It's when things seem worst. You must not quit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, and Instagram, It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.